Good Friday. Today is June the 13th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, watering plants is always important regardless of the season and what the weather is. We're going to talk about how to know if you're overwatering or underwatering, making sure those plants have everything they need to thrive and produce well. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, it's hard to believe it's Friday already out at the Paulding County Fair, but another big day for fair goers. At 9 o'clock will be the 4-H Natural Resources and STEM Project Judgings, and then at 11:45 they will present the awards for those. At 1 o'clock they'll have the 4-H Family and Consumer Science Project Judgings. The Showman to Showman contest takes place in the show arena starting at 3 o'clock. They will give out the awards, by the way, for those family consumer science projects at 3:15, and then at 5 o'clock, the big Black Swamp Beef Showdown takes place. 6 o'clock, they'll have the Junior Four Horse Contesting Show going on in the Horse Arena, and tonight in front of the grandstand, the big NTPA Tractor Pull starting at 7. We're going to take some time this Friday morning as we look out in the backyard and garden and talk about watering plants. Now, obviously, the last couple weeks, we've had a lot of on-again, off-again rain, and so for anything planted in the garden, in some cases, it may be that there was an instance of too much water rather than too little water, and some gardens are not drained as well as others. If they're in the backyard, sometimes they're in areas that happen to sit low, and that's where the water ponds, and so it might not be necessary to water those, but if you're in an area where it is a build-up garden, maybe a raised bed garden, or you have lighter sandy soil, then those can dry out more quickly, and it is important to pay attention to what the moisture is around those plants, especially newly planted vegetable transplants, or even if you put seeds in the ground. Now, oftentimes we get in more trouble if we overwater rather than underwater, so there's a delicate balance there to keep in mind. And a lot of times the field test is just as important as anything, going out and feeling that soil, not just in the surface, but maybe scraping back a little bit and seeing if you water, did that water actually soak down into the soil to be absorbed where those roots can take advantage of it, or was it just on the surface, vice versa? If that water and soil is just really saturated, you know you need to back off a few days. Now, another area we really see this being an issue is when folks have container gardens, or maybe they have plants that are on a porch or a patio. A lot of times we think, well, it rained outside, they should be fine. But oftentimes, if those are close to the house, that rain may be shielded as such, or they don't get the same amount of rain that the yard or the garden or landscape would get. And so it's important, definitely, especially on hot, dry days, or even if it's cool and cloudy, but there's a breeze, that we go out and we do the field test on those as well by simply just putting your fingers in the soil underneath the foliage, if you will, and seeing what's the moisture level like that. And we want that soil to remain moist. We don't want it to be saturated, that it feels like it's a sponge full of water, but at the same time, we don't want it to be too dry either. Now, a lot of times with houseplants, we talk about watering them so that we basically have that water run all the way through and start coming out the bottom of the container, and then we let it set for a few days and let it basically dry down, and we repeat that. A lot of times, so that happens much more quickly if those containerized plants are outside. They can dry down in a matter of 12 to 24 hours and actually need rewatered again, especially as they're actively growing, whether it's blooming or putting on new foliage. They have a high water use rate, plus there's a lot of evaporation that goes on as well. So be sure if you've got flowers or other plants in some of those container boxes, it may be a container garden that you're raising for herbs and spices to use for cooking, but just be sure to pay attention and make sure they have adequate water, but that we don't overwater. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, changing directions, while we enjoy strawberries this summer, you may be surprised to learn this fruit has several varieties. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
While yes, a year-round treat anytime, there is still association of strawberries ready for harvest in June in many parts of the country. Some varieties that are day neutral can bear fruit until October in Florida.
Florida is especially interesting because they plant in the fall and harvest in the winter.
According to USDA research geneticist Kim Lewers. But for most types of strawberries, the sixth month of the year is the time for picking and eating. Did you hear me mention varieties as related to strawberries? And your reply may have been, strawberries have different varieties? The short answer is yes. Among those are cultivars developed and produced at the Agricultural Research Station in Beltsville, Maryland.
Blakemore, Red Steel, Tribute, and TriStar.
And varieties such as Early Glow, Jewel, Sweet Anne, and Seascape developed elsewhere. Yet you say, I've never seen a specific strawberry variety promoted in a supermarket or retail outlet. Lewers says there is a reason for that.
What the industry calls branding.
Perhaps the most common example of branding when it comes to fresh fruits are apples.
So when you go to a store and you're looking at apples, you can look for Fuji, or you can look for Granny Smith, or something like that.
Yet for other types of fruits such as strawberries, branding is not common, or perhaps it's even a rare occurrence.
Apples can be stored for about a year, and strawberries only maybe a week. We'd like it if you could buy them in the store, and then they'd last until the next time you go to the store. That would be ideal. I think that's why most fruits aren't branded, so you don't know what variety you're getting when you go to a store.
Like any fruit or vegetable with cultivars, various traits are considered in the breeding process and development of new strawberry varieties. In the case of ARS Beltsville and Kim Lewer's work,
one of our major goals has been natural disease resistance, and the other one has been fruit quality, which includes flavor.
With the genetic material for USDA strawberry program available to other breeding programs across the country.
For example, Driscoll's has used our material for improving flavor. And the University of Florida has also used our material for improving flavor. And the University of California and others, several others, have used our material for breeding for disease resistance.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.